T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Joe Fortenbaugh is not in. The inmates are running the asylum. You like that, Joe? You like that?
Horocious.
Too bad. You chose the wrong day to take a day off,
Absolutely.
Fortenbaugh.
Absolutely. Get him, Dibs.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him and get him and get him. It's Dan Dibley, Lorenzo Neal, Daryl the Guru Johnson. Happy Friday to you. Herm Edwards, the coach, due to set to come in here in just moments. Talk a little NFL football in the offseason. Howard Beck joins us at 8:30. He's a senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report. We'll get his NBA draft thoughts and what he thinks of the Golden State Warriors as we enter this offseason. Top of the hour, 9 o'clock, Dave Cavill, president of your Oakland Athletics. He'll join us to talk about the new A's stadium, how the progress is going, and what's going on with the team this year. Joe Fortenbaugh is out, which means Anna slides over into the update desk, and right now we kick it over to Anna Kaganakis.
Well, thank you, Div. Now, the Warriors were busy during the NBA draft, even though the reigning champs didn't have a pick. They paid once again for the 38th overall, sending a reported $3.5 million to the Bulls in order to acquire Oregon's Jordan Bell. Bell was the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. GM Bob Meyer says Bell is excited to join the Dubs.
Got a chance to speak to him. He's excited, and he gets to kind of learn under a pretty good group of veterans. And so we're thrilled, and everybody we talked to had a lot of good things to say about him. And
now Golden State will introduce Bell today. We'll carry that press conference live at 1 right here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors also get another duck, also signing undrafted Oregon forward Chris Boucher. And here's how the top five picks rounded out in the draft. 76ers get Markel Fultz. Lakers pick Lonzo Ball. Celtics take Jason Tatum. Suns get Josh Jackson. And the Kings pick De'Aaron Fox. Timberwolves also traded for All-Star Jimmy Butler. And on to baseball. Giants hit 3 homers, but Matt Cain was also hit hard. G-men gave up 8 runs in the 5th. They mounted a huge comeback, came within 1 in the 9th, but fell short.
On the ground, this could do it. Missed the ball game. So the Giants do what they do. They give you a finish, and tonight they come up short.
12-11, your final in Atlanta. That was NBC Sports with the call. San Francisco finished the road trip 1-7. Giants are back home to face the Mets tonight. Now the Astros swept the A's in Oakland. Now Oakland is in Chicago to face the White Sox today. Dugout Show at 4:15. And the $125 million man, Derek Carr, his press conference is today at 10:30. We'll carry that live here on 95.7 The Game. I'm Anna Kaganakis, 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Anna. Yes, coming up at 10:30, the Derek Carr press conference. The Derek Carr, I got $125 million in my pocket press conference, which will be nice. Listen for that today at 10:30 here on 95.7 The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs. Lowe is in. Guru's in. Joe is out. But all the attention right now, Lowe, is on the Derek Carr contract. 5 years, $125 million. When he meets the media in 2.5 hours, what do you expect to hear from him today?
I expect to hear a guy who's going to say, you know what, we got this done, now it's on the football. I wanted to make sure this thing's done before we start training camp. Want to thank Reggie McKenzie and the organization for getting this, giving me the opportunity right now to play football. And that's what it's about. And you're going to hear these guys use, you're going to hear Carr use words like that, saying that, hey, now the contract's behind me, it's time to come into camp, get focused on what the task at hand, and the task at hand is winning a Super Bowl. The task at hand is getting better, and I really believe that you're going to hear these type of words from Carr to say, look, I'm not going to change what I do. I'm not going to change in the preparation that I'm not going to do. I'm not going to change in the leadership, how I go about it. I'm not going to change anything. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to even do more of those things, but I'm not going to try to do anything because we're good enough. If I play within myself and stay the course, we have a good enough team to win and win a championship. Those are the things you want to hear Carr talk about staying consistent, and that's what the Raiders need, and they got a quarterback that has been pretty consistent, especially last year.
And you hit on key components, because right now, the NFL, it's silent, but this is the Raiders' day.
It's an incredible day for Raider fans to see Derek Carr come out after he signs a five-year, $125 million contract. It's my pleasure to welcome our next guest to the program, Herm Edwards, former Jets and Chiefs head coach, now an analyst for ESPN. Herm, the offseason never sleeps in the NFL. How you doing this morning?
I'm well, and I think if you're a Raider fan, you're excited about the contract that Derek Carr received, obviously. Well-deserved. We saw what he meant to this team last year when he went down due to injury. He's the heart and soul of this football team. There's no doubt about it. And with him at the helm, they have some opportunities, obviously, to continue to win and you know, eventually start winning in the playoffs. I mean, that's what they've got to do now. I mean, they're a team that hadn't been in the playoffs in quite some time, 13 years of a drought, and found their way that way last year. And basically, you know, now they're going to be the hunted. You know, and when you look at their schedule, is very difficult in November and December. When you look at it, you know, they play New England, Denver, Giants, Kansas City, Dallas, Eagles, and San Diego. Those are the last seven games. And so this will be a team that obviously big expectations, especially when your quarterback signs for that amount of money, you know, winning 12 games last year. But their Achilles heel thus far, if they want to win a division, is Kansas City. They're 0-4 against those guys, and their division record in the last 2 years is 6-6. That's not a good mark. When you think about Kansas City Chiefs, they're 11-1. So they've got to do something in the division where they can feel like they can win this division, where they can play at home.
Coach, tell the wife hello. It's your boy, Lo Neal. When you're thinking about Kansas City and looking what they did, the moves they made, drafting a quarterback, you know, Andy Reid getting a five-year extension, GM's out. What does that tell you about Alex Smith? What does that tell you about the organization? Is the clock really ticking on Alex Smith? Talk to us about that.
Well, yeah. Now, you know, Alex Smith is 33 years old. As we know, he's not an old quarterback. Let me stretch his imagination. But I think when you look at his situation, it's one of this. How does Alex Smith fare in playoff games? And that has been his Achilles heel. That has been this team's Achilles heel, by the way. His record since he's been there is, 42-23. So, you know, this is a team that knows how to win. They especially know how to win in their division. We just gave you the numbers here a minute ago. And so they've done a nice job there. They're getting a little long in the tooth at the linebacker position. That's worrisome when you look at this football team. Defensively, they do a great job like the Raiders did last year of playing defense in the sense they take the ball away. They've taken the ball away a bunch. Alex Smith doesn't turn it over, but not a lot of big plays in the offense. Not like the Raiders offense. They score points, but you know, a lot of that comes through special teams and defense where they scored 8 touchdowns. There only 18 touchdown passes. And so this is a team that has trouble scoring, but their defense takes the ball away enough where they give them more opportunities. Their offense will run through two guys. We knew who it is, Kelce and Hill. You know, they were fantastic for them last year. Defense has to improve on the run game, but they're the team that beat in the division.
Herm, Raider Nation, you talked about it, is very excited and expectations are high. And you mentioned Kansas City, New England. The Raiders got to get past those two teams if they want to accomplish their goal. And I'm wondering, there are a couple of holes in the Raider defense. They added beast mode. Last year, Derek Carr threw for 28 touchdowns. Could you see a scenario to where the Raiders went more with the ball control offense to keep the other team opposing offenses off of the field? Or do you think they're just going to keep putting it in the air?
Well, that's what they do. This is the Raiders. I mean, you don't pay a quarterback, almost $25 million a year to turn around and hand the ball off now. I mean, you know, you're going to throw the football, and why wouldn't you? I mean, this is a high-scoring offense, you know, averaging 26 points. We know this. If you can score about 24 points and play decent defense, you're gonna win at least 10 or more games. I mean, that's the number. The number's 24 on offense. You want to be an offense that can score 24 I still think they're going to continue to try to do that. I think defensively, this is where they have to improve. I mean, you know, the back end of their defense gives up a lot of big plays, and they're giving up 24 points. That's not a good number. They got exposed a little bit last year back there due to the fact that only 25 sacks. They need someone else on the other side of Mac to get to the quarterback. Now, they went out and obviously got a corner and another safety to try to upgrade that position, and we'll see how that pans out for them. Cordell Patterson is an excellent return guy, especially on kickoff returns. This guy is deadly. He can, you know, make big plays with the ball in his hand, but the offense is the catalyst of this team. Their defense, you know, it's okay in the sense that it takes the ball away, but if it doesn't take the ball away, what happens is because people can run the ball against the Raiders, your offense doesn't get the possessions it needs. You understand what I'm saying? So you got to stop the run on defense because you want your offense to have the ball. So they got to improve and get their defense at least into the top 15. Now you're talking, you know, playoffs and winning in the playoffs.
Herm Edwards joining us here on 95.7 The Game. All eyes on Amari Cooper this year as he creeps closer to being in line for a big contract. What kind of a step-up season do you expect from Amari Cooper now that his quarterback's getting paid and the run game seems to be improving?
Well, I had the opportunity to coach Amari in the Under Armour game when he was coming out of high school before he went to Alabama. Can't ask any more from a young man as far as his beliefs and how he carries himself on and off the field. But he's got to do, you know, he didn't play as well as he did his first year. You know, he had some drops. And this receiver corps had some critical drops at times. And I think a lot of that has to do, he puts a lot of pressure on himself. So I think if he can just play, you know, pressure-free and knowing that, you know, he is in the league and he's looked upon as one of the better receivers. You know, I say that, and the guy had, you know, he only had 3 touchdowns. Now he had 1,100 yards. I get that part, but he's got to be more explosive. You know, Crabtree's the guy that I think resurrected his career in Oakland. When you think about his inconsistency with San Francisco, he found his way with the Raiders. So I think if Cooper can get that touchdown rate up, you know, he should be a 10-touchdown guy. He's got that kind of ability with the ball in his hand.
Coach, I'm a huge component of this. All things being equal, players make plays. Coaches make decisions that can help determine the outcome of the game. You got a Jerry Rice lined up, and you go on man-to-man coverage. That's probably a coach saying, I shouldn't be doing that because Jerry's going to usually make those plays. So right. Coaches have a lot to do with decision-making. Tell us about John Pagano. Had him in San Diego, defensive guy that's been brought over to help Ken Norton. How much more would that shore up this Oakland Raiders defense?
Well, that's the key. And, you know, you have to have two minds that are on the same page. And you make a great point. It's really about personnel. You know, understand the skill set of your personnel. Your number one job as a coach, I've always felt, is don't allow players to fail. At that level, you have very good players. I mean, it's not like you don't have good players. Now, systems obviously are needed for a lot of players that play in this league, and you know that. And I think the system that you develop has a lot to do with the players you have. I mean, some people come in with a system and don't have the players to fit. That
sure
becomes a problem. You know, that becomes a big problem. I think this team is going to get away from a lot of that single safety high that they ran in Seattle for numerous reasons. Chuck Pagano's a guy that's been well-traveled. And I think with him and Ken Norton together, they can find some type of plan really to come up to, first of all, to get Mac free on one-on-one because he can wreck the game. And the problem is, you know, people are doubling. You got to move him around, I think, a little bit more so he can disrupt the game. And then you got to protect your secondary, you know, with coverages sometimes. You can't leave him out there on an island one-on-one because, remember, when you play the Oakland Raiders, you go into the game thinking this. If you can't run the football as an offense versus the Raiders, so you feel like your running game's not very good, even though their run defense is not very good, then you're going to try to score points. Well, when you leave your secondary vulnerable because they don't rush the passer very well because the only guy that can rush him is Mac, you got a problem. So what do you do to alleviate that problem? You're going to have to go to multiple coverages and not always align single safety high and let the corners go out there and say, hey, we're going to try to, you know, obviously play man-to-man, and that doesn't work for them very well. They got beat a lot of times last year with big plays.
Coach, quietly, John Lynch and Mr. Shanahan have been making some sound acquisitions, and I'm thinking the Niners may shock some teams here this upcoming NFL season. What do you make of what the Niners have been doing?
Well, it's a building process, as we know, and I thought they had a nice draft. And I like what John did in free agency. It doesn't surprise me. He went out, really, and got himself a veteran crew of guys that have a lot of character. And I think you're going to need that for this organization and the fact that you're trying to rebuild a team, and that's the way you're headed. So with that being said, I think this – I don't know if they're going to shock anybody this year about the games they win, but – they'll be very competitive. I think they understand that their Achilles heel is this, is they don't have a quarterback yet. He's not on campus. And with that being said, what do you do? Well, you know, when John, and you know John was in Tampa with us, first thing you do is you upgrade your defense with some guys, try to keep the game close, and then you want to run the football on offense so you can be competitive. And I think that's what their mindset is right now. And I think they will be better. I mean, you know, they went out and drafted some players early in the draft. You know, they got a linebacker. That's, you know, to me, it's their Derek Brooks. You know, they went and got themselves maybe a three technique. So John understands, you know, the process of how to build a defense. So I think they will be competitive. How many games they win, you know what, I wouldn't worry about that this year. But I just think they'll be much better on the field how they play.
And maybe clearing the way for Kirk Cousins to land there in 2018. You never know. After two franchise tags, he might want to take his act out to the West Coast. Herm Edwards, unbelievable guest, as always. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend, Coach. And remember, always put your name on it, right?
Yeah, that's important. When you say something, put your name on it. That's exactly right.
I love it. I tell my kids that all the time, Coach. If you're going to say something, you got to put your name on it.
Okay, I'll see you guys later. Nice talking with you.
Thank you, Coach. Coach Herm Edwards, inspirational, informational as always. And, Lo, I see you over there nodding right along with what he's saying, talking about the Raiders and the defense improving, John Pagano being a big part of it, and this Raider team needing to play better defense in order to give its offense more opportunities to succeed. One thing we've been kicking around, and I'd love to hear you weigh in on it, 888-957-9570 or the PenskeAutoSales.com text line 95795. Who's under more pressure this season upcoming? Derek Carr and his monster deal, or Alex Smith, who's got Patrick Mahomes breathing down his neck? If you want to join us on Twitter, follow us at 957TheGame. We'd love to get your responses on Twitter. We got a poll running right now. Who's under more pressure this season, Derek Carr or Alex Smith? Which way do you see that, Guru?
It's got to be Alex Smith. Derek Carr just put his John Hancock on a mega deal. Now, he may put pressure on himself, but to me, we know what he is on a good day. That's a top-tier stellar quarterback, Derek Carr. Alex Smith is the one that's probably sweating bullets right now, because I could probably argue, Lo, that Mahomes has a bigger upside than Alex Smith. And we talked about Alex Smith, the regular season quarterback, and then the Alex Smith that doesn't have that much success in the postseason. So to me, I could see a scenario to where Alex Smith by week 8, you know, is replaced by this young top gun. So to me, it's Alex Smith by landslide.
Well, I'm indifferent a little bit here, because if you understand he's going to be replaced in week 8, and you might even say not even be the starter, Andy Reid already got, they went and drafted a quarterback. Where's the pressure? You've been to the playoffs and you never win. Where's the pressure? You're great in the regular season, but no in the playoffs. Everyone's saying he can't do it. So he is who he is. He's a nice piece. Dibs, you talked about Alex Smith's a nice piece. You look at the odds, and Vegas is telling you who's the pressure on. Derek Carr is 9-1 MVP. Derek Carr now just got $125 million. The window for the Raiders is now. It's a 3-year window. All these players aren't going to be staying here together. They're going to have to go to Vegas, and a lot of things are going to happen. Everything does not stay the same. This Raider window is now, and I think young Carr understands that. That's one of the reasons why he said, I want to get this contract done now, because when the season gets here, I'm not going to talk about it. This team, you got to realize, this is Derek Carr's fourth year. He's not a first year, second year, third year. He's going into his fourth year now. He understands that now we paid you. We gave you a king's ransom. Now you go bring us back what a king should get, and that's a championship. Carr has a tremendous amount of pressure, and so does this Raider organization. When you do the right things and you do them in the way they do, I really believe that Carr has a lot of pressure. do pressure on him to win and win big and get in the playoffs and make a lot of noise.
888-957-9570. Who's under more pressure this season, Derek Carr or Alex Smith? You can follow us on Twitter at 957TheGame and weigh in there as well. So far, running close to 50-50, but 54% of people on Twitter believe Alex Smith is under more pressure. I think it is Smith as well, Guru. Five-year deal for Derek Carr. Certainly you want to win this year, but if you don't, he's got five more years. He's actually under contract for six seasons. So as much as they need to win now, if it doesn't happen this season, you know Derek Carr is coming back. But for Alex Smith, like you say, this could be it. This could be Alex's last stand.
Yeah, and the Raiders have Super Bowl aspirations. So to me, that's pressure, but it's good pressure, and it's different pressure. For Alex Smith, it's to keep his job.
Well, ask Phillip Rivers how much pressure he's on, been in the league for 16, 17 years and haven't won a Super Bowl. If there was a guy, and you look at Dan Marino, if he could go back in time, all those great athletes, you love it, what you've done, accolades, but he wishes he would have won a Super Bowl. You look at Kelly.
Yeah, but Rivers has never had another quarterback under him pressing him like this, like Mahomes is going to press Alex Smith. I mean, who's LA's backup?
Alex had a pressure guy, and Colin Kaepernick didn't make it. I understand exactly what you guys are saying. I'm saying when you talk about pressure, I'm saying when you're striving for excellence and striving to be great, it's just hard to look at a backup. I played, had backups behind you. You don't look at them necessarily pressure. It's about winning. And I think Carr, when you give this guy the keys to the car and you saying we're giving you this everything you need, he's going to have pressure because they didn't give him $125 million just to go win games. Mm. They gave him $125 million to win a Super Bowl.
888-957-9570. Who's under more pressure this upcoming season, Derek Carr or Alex Smith? Let's go to Zach in Oakland. Zach, good morning. Please answer the question. Who is under more pressure this season?
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to make a real quick point that Carr is under more pressure, and this is it. Kansas City has already proven that they can win games when Alex Smith plays bad. The Raiders need Carr to play great in order for them to go as far as people think that they're going to go this year.
Point.
That's my
good
point.
Thanks,
guys.
Thank you, Zach. I appreciate it. And we'll see if Oakland can actually win games if Derek plays poorly this year. Certainly we saw last year in the playoffs and in Week 17, they didn't have the personnel yet to get it done. Will and Marin, he's on the line. He wants to talk about the topic as well. Good morning, Will. Who's under more pressure this year, Derek or Alex?
I'm going to say Alex because, I mean, when you see Derek, you see work ethic, you see blue-collar mentality, you see a leader and a high IQ. You get what you pay for in Derek. He might have a little pressure on himself to get to the promised land and get him back to where he wanted to be because of his injury. But other than that, he's got a great group of people around him, and he's got people that support him and want to see him do nothing but great things. So I think he's gotten more of the support. Alex Smith has more pressure because they went out, they got a quarterback. You can already see concerns, you know, on the offensive side of the ball and if he can win. So obviously he's got more pressure because there's someone breathing down his neck already.
Good call, Will. Appreciate you checking in. As always, have a great week. And that's the way I see it. But, Lo, you see it differently because Alex Smith, even if they don't play great, the team can still go out and still win games, but he might lose his job to Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, and you guys are right. And trust me, I understand what everyone's saying. Alex Smith, we look physically, he's under more pressure. Cars, they went out and drafted a quarterback. The GM's out, your guy who brought you in. I understand that's pressure. But I think when you look at Carr and look at what the Raiders gave him, they didn't give Alex Smith $22 million, $25 million a year. Alex Smith, everyone says he's a game manager. You never, ever hear Carr being considered a game manager. He is a big-time quarterback. He's ranked number 11, higher than Drew Brees, higher than a lot of quarterbacks. He's number 3 in voting to be favored to win the MVP. He is going to have to step up. It's not just playoffs for this team. They need to win, and that's why you've given him that type of money, not to be a game manager, but to be a game winner. And that's why this young man has a tremendous amount of pressure to be great.
888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in on this topic. Howard Beck is going to join us in about 5 minutes to talk about the NBA draft and the state of where the Warriors are. We'll get back to your calls at 845, and we'll also examine the day that Guru went from first cousin to second cousin.
Third cousin.
I thought you forgot.
I'm like an elephant, Goo. What is that thing about elephants again?
They never forget.
Thank you, Anna. It must have slipped my mind. Jolo and Dibs, guru in for Joe.
Nice,
Anna had me right there. Anna's
my, for you.
You're my running mate on 95.7 The Game. You go to sleep.
Now, back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Happy Friday morning to you. It's going to be a beautiful day across the Bay Area. A little cooler than yesterday, thankfully. Shaping up for an outstanding weekend. Up in 15 minutes, we'll get into the Derek Carr contract and discuss the Alex Smith, Derek Carr pressure question. Top of the hour, Dave Cavill, the president of the Oakland Athletics. And it's an exciting time to be an Oakland A's front office employee. But right now, we go out to the phones. Good friend of the show, senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report, Howard Beck. Follow him on Twitter, at Howard Beck. He joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Howard, what'd you think about the NBA draft? What were your big takeaways from last night's goings-on back east?
Well, I mean, it was weird because on the one hand, the draft, at least the top of the draft, went almost exactly according to all the mocks and all the expectations, which never really happens. Normally somewhere within that first four, five, six, you're already starting to get surprises. But like the top of the draft was almost predictable, and yet the rest of the night was fireworks. I mean, the Jimmy Butler trade, even though we've been talking about potential Jimmy Butler trades for over a year now, was really remarkable. I think a real stunner and one of the rare times that, you know, that people are almost universally agreed on the, you know, on how to grade the trade. Like aside from my colleague, Rick Bucher, everybody else, including me hated that trade for the Bulls. I think it's a great move for the Timberwolves. I think they stole Jimmy Butler, but so that trade was obviously fairly eye-popping. And there were some other interesting wrinkles last night. Obviously, you know, the Warriors buying into the second round and then getting Jordan Bell, which a lot of people, I think, thought was one of the better moves of the night. And, you know, nothing else really is striking about the draft itself. Like I said, I think the trade overshadowed just about everything.
And I think most people would call it a fleecing, and apologies to our former colleague here on 95.7 The Game, Rick Bucher, who had a little stint in AM and PM Drive. I think they absolutely got fleeced. And that's from me, Howard, who thinks that Lauri Markkanen is going to be a great player for the Bulls. Was it more about getting rid of Jimmy Butler than it was about getting Markkanen, or is Chicago really going to be high on this scoring forward out of Arizona?
Well, obviously they're high on him, but they didn't trade Jimmy Butler to get Lauri Markkanen. They traded Jimmy Butler because they've decided he's not the franchise player they want to build around, and they wanted to get back multiple assets. That's fine in the broad outlines. If you think a guy is not really despite his skill set, despite him being an all-NBA forward, despite his two-way play, that's fine. If you think it's time to move on from Jimmy Butler and to rebuild when you don't have much else to rebuild around, that is a rational conclusion for the Bulls to draw. The problem is what they did. Chris Dunn, 23, 24 years old, barely played last year for the Timberwolves. A lot of people are still high on him, and maybe he becomes a franchise point guard. Maybe he becomes a multiple-time All-Star. Maybe. Zach LaVine, coming off of ACL surgery, and at his best was a high flyer who developed a nice three-point stroke and is a good scorer. But is Zach LaVine a future star, an All-Star? I know he's a dunking star, but so those are the two main components of the trade. Lauri Markkanen's the third man in on this. And, you know, he's a stretch four, stretch five potentially if he bulks up a little bit. But he doesn't have much of a nose for the ball. He's not a rebounder, not a defender. He might just be another Ryan Anderson type. We'll see. That's up to Lauri Markkanen to determine his own career path. And I'm always hesitant to say that these guys are a finished product on day one at age 19 in the NBA. Give them some time to develop. But the two keys to this trade are LaVine and Dunn. And if one or both don't become stars, then the Bulls absolutely screwed themselves in this trade.
When you look at the Warriors and you watch them and as they buy back into the draft and spend $3 million, they already seem to have their appetizer. They already seem to have the entree. Is this more just a dessert when you look at what they did going out and getting Jordan Bell?
Well, listen, you know, when you're the defending champions, when you've been in the three straight finals, when you are, by most assessments, light years ahead of everybody else, there's not much to do. You know, they have some free agency decisions to make, especially in the front court, which is why I think the Jordan Bell pickup was so critical for them, because, you know, Pachulia and McGee and West, all these guys are free agents, and they got to figure out, you know, how they're completing that part of the rotation. But that said, look, they're the defending champions with, you know, two MVP types and four All-Stars and et cetera, et cetera. The Warriors don't have much to worry about, and the draft is not where they're going to make their major improvements. That said, you know, getting McCaw a year ago, getting Bell now, if you can be the top team or one of the top teams in the league and consistently find ways to add good young talent that makes your rotation, you're doing a phenomenal job. Because a lot of teams, you look at Miami year in, year out, when they were competing for the finals, they were not able to find players that stuck in the draft. It's hard to draft low first and second round. It's hard to find those guys who are going to stick. The Lakers back in the Shaq Kobe era rarely found anybody who was you know, really going to become a substantial part of the rotation. It's difficult. So that the Warriors can do this, and we'll see with Bell, but he, you know, people are really high on him and think he could fit in right away. Not much of an offensive game, but you don't need much offense when you're playing with that group. So they've done a really nice job.
Howard, we just seen the Golden State Warriors season culminate in a championship, and now it's about bringing the band back together. And a big part of the band is Iguodala. What are your thoughts and chances of the Warriors bringing him back? Do you think he could actually leave?
That's really hard to know. I mean, there are teams out there. Look, first of all, there's not as much cap room this summer, not nearly as much cap room floating around. And the cap just came down even further from what the expectations were. I think it's on $99 million. So the cap, it's going up from this year, but it's coming down from what the projections were. So there's not a lot of money floating around on July 1st. So there's less of a threat for somebody to just do some kind of really dumb overpay to steal him away. His age makes him, you know, less attractive to most teams. I mean, he's the kind of player who Iguodala, very, very valuable to the Warriors and to the three or four other teams that have a shot at a conference finals or finals appearance. That's it. So I don't see him going to take, you know, it's not like the Nets, who have a ton of money to blow, are going to go out and you know, give Iguodala $20 million a year to come play with a team that's going nowhere. So, you know, my guess is, you know, look, when there's noise about a guy listening to see what the market's like, that's what you should do. I mean, he's earned that. But, you know, I'd be pretty stunned if he left.
What about the idea of LaMarcus Aldridge leaving San Antonio, a story that's caught some fire over the last 24 to 48 hours? We knew that the relationship between the Spurs and Aldridge, not great. You can see by the way he's playing on the floor. What do you think the likelihood is that he gets dealt before the start of the season?
Well, the Spurs don't mess around, and when they start looking to trade a guy, like some teams, you know, are just testing the market, gauging to see what's out there, or, you know, like the Jimmy Butler thing. The Bulls, they were of two minds the whole time. You know, they wanted to trade him, they didn't want to trade him, they weren't sure what they were going to do with him. The Spurs don't mess around. If the Spurs are seriously dangling LaMarcus Aldridge and deciding that they've got a better way forward to build around Kawhi Leonard and stay competitive, I mean, this is a team, obviously, that, you know, a threat to make the conference finals and the finals every year. And if, you know, if not for the Kawhi Leonard injury, we would have at least had a more interesting conference finals. But they've clearly determined that LaMarcus is not the best complementary star there. So them being the Spurs, I'm pretty sure they're going to find a way to move him and get something of value back, and probably in a much better deal than what the Bulls just got for Jimmy Butler.
It would be remarkable to see Aldridge go there for just a couple of seasons and then be on the move again, especially when they were so close to at least threatening the Warriors before Kawhi Leonard got injured.
Yeah, but, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge has always had a reputation as a little bit of a high-maintenance guy, you know, just kind of a quirky personality. And, you know, has shown that for all of the numbers he put up. And look, you know, he was in Portland for quite a while and had some great years there. And he's been decent in San Antonio, but he's not that star that carries you in the same way that a Kawhi Leonard does. And they really need somebody who can complement him a little bit better and carry them in the minutes that Kawhi is out or, you know, on the bench. Or maybe they just need, you know, I mean, look, they're dangling Danny Green too. So clearly the Spurs, you know, never content to stand pat. And just because they've had great success and win, you know, 60 games a year, they're, you know, they understand that if they don't continue to evolve, they're not going to keep pace with the Warriors. And Kawhi Leonard's in his prime. He's one of the best, you know, top five player in the NBA, an MVP candidate. And, you know, they're not going to waste his prime years by saying, well, the Warriors are unbeatable. That's not, you know, the Spurs are the last team that's ever going to say that and just give up. So credit to them that they're exploring every way possible to retool. And as I say, I believe they'll find a way to do that. I don't know what the deal is, but they'll find a deal for LaMarcus Aldridge. They'll probably find a deal for Danny Green.
Howard Beck from Bleacher Report joining us here on 95.7 The Game. One more before we let you go, Howard, and it's the idea of Porzingis, Kristaps Porzingis being dealt by the Knicks. Is this just insanity from Phil Jackson, or is he doing his due diligence trying to see what he could possibly get from the young star?
I understand that the Knicks have lost all benefit of the doubt. I live in Brooklyn. I'm in New York. I know, you know, this market and these fans. I understand people have lost faith in the Knicks and in Phil Jackson. If you think that Phil Jackson is dumb enough or petty enough or has lost it that he would trade Kristaps Porzingis just because he blew off an exit interview, then you're the one who's crazy. So, I mean, I don't think for a minute that they are eager to move him. I don't think that they're going to move him because he blew off an exit interview. I do think that there are probably some internal reservations about whether or not Porzingis will be the, you know, year in, year out star that everybody hopes and projects him to be. And I think that besides that, you know, they're in a position where Carmelo Anthony is 33 and they're moving on from him most likely. And they don't have a lot of guys to build around. They have exactly one player to build around in Porzingis. So if you were able to cash out Porzingis for multiple young players or players in picks, you have to at least explore that. And I think that's really all they're doing. And if somebody blows them away, then maybe they make a deal. And if no one gives them multiple pieces back that they can build a team around, then they'll hang on to Porzingis because I think they do still like him a lot. But, you know, I think this storyline got out of control, which is partially the Knicks' own fault, but partially just the era we live in. You know, they talked to a few teams, that leaked out, and people fanned the flames, and I think the story got distorted a little bit in terms of the Knicks' intent.
Howard Beck, tremendous stuff. Great insight and a suicidal tendencies reference in there as well with the I'm not crazy, you're the one who's crazy. I appreciate you joining us and keeping it oh so real, Howard, as always.
I just wanted a Pepsi.
That's all I wanted was a Pepsi.
Nice.
Howard Beck, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great weekend, Howard.
You too, guys. Take care.
Fantastic. I don't know if it was intentional or accidental, but
You caught it.
One of the great punk songs of all time, Lo.
Yeah, it really is.
I know it moved you as a young man in Lee Moore.
It really did. I remember where I was at when I heard that, too. I was out there riding on that old John Deere tractor.
Get out of here.
Know, pulling a little corn stalk out and going ahead and make me some of that old moonshine. But anyways, as I digest, I humbly disagree. When you look at Phil and what he's done, would I want to play for you now? That's the multi-million dollar question. Does Porzingis now look at this guy and say, I know you like me, but I wish you loved me. And since you haven't showed that you really love me, when it's my turn, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun.
Could be credibility questions in New York. We'll get into that next. Maybe Lo will do a little karaoke of suicidal tendencies. And we need to get into this guru as Brutus in Julius Caesar. Why Brutus or guru or Gurudus chose to stab me in the back?
Please explain.
We'll get into all of that next. Plus, we've got tickets to give away. It's Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, Joe, Lo, and Dibs. Top of the hour, 12 minutes. A's president Dave Cavill will get his thoughts on the state of the A's. What's going on with the new baseball stadium they're trying to build? Where might it go? We'll get all the insights from Dave Cavill coming up at the top of the hour. Great performance by Howard Beck there. A lot of NBA insight. He, of course, crushing the Bulls for getting beat down in the trade with the Minnesota Timberwolves as Jimmy Buckets goes to Minnesota in exchange for a backup point guard and an injured swingman. So good thoughts from Howard Beck on that.
I just wanted a Pepsi.
And all he wanted was a Pepsi. Talk a little suicidal tendencies there, Lo. I know you're a big punk guy. You love your punk music.
It was crazy. Yeah, and when we went back there and you listened to that song, I totally remember that song. I heard Iron Man 2. But it was freaking awesome, man. It just going all in, man. It's just crazy song. But as I digest a little bit, I agree with the trade because Jimmy Butler wanted out. He wanted to go get something for him, even though you didn't get a king's ransom, which you should have got. You get rid of him, let's at least get something.
Yeah, and they did get something, yeah. But They didn't get enough, in my opinion, and we'll see how good Lauri Markkanen is for the Bulls at number 7. Good offensive player, but has a ways to go on defense. Well, time now to give away some tickets. We have a family 4-pack of tickets to the 2017 Alameda County Fair. The Alameda County Fair and Oak Tree at Pleasanton Horse Racing are back. Enjoy 12 full days of live racing, big prize money, contests, giveaways, and more. While you're there, be sure to stop by the 95.7 The Game Fan Cave inside of the sports bar. And for a full racing and event schedule, visit AlamedaCountyFair.com. Here's the trivia question. Winner gets a 4-pack of tickets to the Alameda County Fair. How many seniors were taken in the first round of the 2017 NBA Draft? We know it was a record number of freshmen, 16 freshmen in all taken. How many seniors were taken in the first round of the NBA Draft? 888-957-9570. The first person to call in with the correct answer is the winner of 4 tickets to the Alameda County Fair. NBA Draft last night, of course, NFL offseason in full swing, and something we've been discussing this morning is who's under more pressure this year, Alex Smith or could it be Derek Carr? Alex Smith, of course, had a quarterback drafted to his team who likely will replace him sooner, if not later, depending on how well Alex Smith performs. Derek Carr, on the other hand, 5-year, $125 million contract, and a team that obviously has more expectations than they've had in the last 15 years. 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in on that. Before we break down the topic further, though, Lo, we need to get this uncomfortableness taken out of the studio for what happened last week while we were at the parade. Give the people some idea of what happened last week. You and I were lucky enough to be chosen to be on the 95.7 The Game float in the Warriors parade. And go ahead and take it from there.
Yeah, as you just stated, Joe, Dibs, chosen. I know. You're just sitting in Joe's chair. I know. It's just, I'm used
to. Do I look like Joe Fortenbaugh?
Nothing like him.
His hair is better. His eyes are more attractive.
Wow. He's a lot meaner than you. I love you. I think, I love both you guys, but he's just meaner, though. He's an angry guy at times. Sometimes I'm like, Joe, I'm sorry, Joe. Please don't spank me. Stop it. Stop
it. Ferocious.
Yeah. So, but no, and as I digest, we were chosen. We and you didn't go and say, hey, put me on the float. No. They came to us and said, hey, look, we want you guys to represent 95.7 the game, Dubs Radio at the time, because we were wanted to honor the Dubs and what they were doing. And me and you come on, we do our hits. We do nothing wrong. Me and you, we're man of the people, and we're out there enjoying ourselves. And Cousin Guru, to even add a little more coal to the fire, he brings in donuts. We have him on the show with Neo and I.
Yeah.
Fill in. Never once brings in donuts. He says, oh, my wife tells me I shouldn't bring in donuts. I don't want to be a simp. Then Kalena's on the show, and Joe's on the show, and Guru's film. He brings in donuts.
Shocking.
Not once, but twice. Mm. And it's like, okay. And then we're doing a hit, and after the hit, we get a snippet played of what Cousin Guru was saying and the things and the way that he went about doing it, Dibs. To me, it was just wrong. We can key it up and let the audience judge what he did, but it really hurt me. But I forgave him. I forgave him because that's what I have to do. But it was disheartening.
I love it when you throw to sound. So that's great take, great insight. Go ahead and cue that up one more time, short version, and then pitch it to the boys so they can play exactly what took place while we were at the parade.
Absolutely. And here's what Guru had to say.
Okay, first of all, can you explain to me why we our representation on a float in front of 2 million people is Dan Dibley? Like, is that, I mean, you think of all the people around 95.7 that's going to represent. You got Lo Neal, and that's who's representing everybody?
Hey, Towner, he let us know he didn't shower this morning, too.
Oh, God, he's going to be a lobster by, like, noon.
Wow,
not
I mean,
look,
shower,
dude.
Lobster. I mean, really, really, Guru?
Well, before Guru has a chance to retort, and you're going to have about maybe 10 seconds at the end of the segment, and not a second more, Guru, you mind your place. The thing that got me is the horse laugh in the middle. It's one thing for Townie to take shots. And by the way, Townie, when you don't shower, it has nothing to do with you getting sunburn. You may want to go ahead and check your sunscreen and check yourself before you burn yourself, second degree boy, because he was out there like a tomato.
Who? Yeah, I was going to say, who was redder at the end of the day?
Not even close. Well, I'm permanently red, Anna, so... That hurts a little bit too close to home. But listen again, and listen for the guru horse laugh in the background here.
Think of all the people around 95.7 that's going to represent. You got Lo Neal, and that's who's representing everybody? Think of all the people.
Guru, was that your Michael Jackson impersonation?
No. I'm telling you, I didn't know that it was my turn on the mic.
Oh.
So I was running out of material.
Mm.
So I just went to that. Dibs, you know, you went on air and said you didn't shower. So I was just going with the bit. It was nothing personal. We're family here. And I was proud that you guys were picked to be on the float. And I held it down
but
here.
But it's just the way it came across. You go, oh, Townie, guess what? He didn't even shower either.
Oh, God, he's going to be a lobster by like noon.
Huh. Because showering prevents sunscreen.
Wow.
Hey, everybody, Chris Townsend here for Sunburn. As long as you shower in the morning, kids, you're going to be fine. No.
Well, since we're,
and you said we're family and you brought them donuts, too.
Since we're throwing it all out there, but what about your new love affair with Coach Keating? You guys just going golfing and golf balls and gifts and just, you know,
for one,
I got kids.
For one, you can't play golf, so that's the only reason.
But the way you guys just threw me away.
No, no, I've taken you under
my bosom. You
didn't
answer my calls. Dibs did say, hey, it's not your turn.
I did get right back to you.
You did.
I did get right back to you.
But I was going with the bit that you said, Dibs. That's always nothing personal.
Sure, nothing personal.
I don't have any material, Lo.
I stay in my lane. I don't make.
I love Coach.
That's over my pay grade. I don't bring anyone in. All I do is come into work, brother, and I do my job. Dibs, I let Dibs. I trust Dibs in his decision making, and he's a great man, and I trust his decision making. He just said he wants to pass the ball. That's
I got it. That's my man. Well, yeah,
I look to distribute, and you know, while we're talking, while we're talking about Kerry Keating, he did get us out to the Olympic Club a couple days ago, which probably doesn't help your case for getting more hours next week.
And he brought donuts.
Yeah, I talked to Coach. You know, we talk.
Coach is a great man.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, he's.
Even do some business with him.
Me too.
It's good stuff. And I know that, Lo, this is it for you for about a nine-day stretch. So, Kerry's going to be in. You're in next week as well. A
couple days.
I believe we have Brad Gilbert coming in Monday. BG. Anna, what can you tell us about working with BG?
Working with BG, you're going to get some great stories from him. I mean, some of the most hilarious, intense stories and some things that will make your stomach turn, but they're great. And the fact that he calls his bronze medal the Big Penny kind of.
Oh, because he has a bronze medal.
Yeah. He was supposed to win gold, so he was really pissed off about it, so he calls it the Big Penny.
The Big Penny. Mm-hmm. Outstanding. Diehard Raider fan, so I know he's going to join us. You're in for a couple days, and then Kerry Keating
excited.
Being.
Yeah, Tuesday and Wednesday.
No, I'm super excited. It gets no better than me, you, and Joe Fortenbaugh, who will be back on Monday in his usual
keep
spot.
It 100.
Yes, Joe, you are keeping it 100, I'm sure, on your brief long weekend up in Wine Country. Well, big news coming today at 10:30. Derek Carr will meet the media, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of thanks and praise and a lot of shucks and aw darns because he's such a great person,
thank God.
A great young leader.
A lot of thank God.
He will thank God.
Yeah.
Yes, but it'll be shoots and shucks and aw darns and dangs, and I look forward to hearing Derek Carr as the new nine-digit man, $100 million man. He'll take to the microphone at 10:30, and then at 1 o'clock today, we're going to have the introductory press conference of Jordan Bell, the newest Golden State Warrior, who was purchased in the second round yesterday by the team. So a couple of big news conferences today to get you ready for your sports weekend. A's president Dave Cavill going to join us next. Lots to talk about with the team and certainly questions about the future stadium site as well. It's Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.